Psalms here in Psalm number 46, which was especially important for Martin Luther, who was the man widely recognised at the who really began, humanly speaking, the work of the Reformation 500 years ago. The psalm that was therefore close to the heart of this German man and others in Germany as well at the time, who were at the forefront of bringing the word of God to people across the continent. This psalm, upon which Martin Luther wrote his famous hymn, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," a psalm which he based his hymn on, this psalm, most likely at the time of the plague, which reached Wittenberg in, I think it was in 1527. A time of great trouble, personally and for the whole community, where many people suffered and died. Luther wrote a book at this time, the title of which I think indicates something to us of the great troubles that a plague brings. The book was entitled, "Whether One May Flee from a Deadly Plague," which tells, I think, not only of the suffering that was there, but also the questions of conscience as well that come in the time of such strife. Well, one commentator writes on this psalm, and commenting on Martin Luther's famous hymn as well, "Both psalm and hymn celebrate the confidence that the people of God may have in his help, because of his choice to be with them. In the psalm, through his presence in the city of God, in the hymn, through his presence of Christ." So we may now turn to the psalm and look especially at this first verse here. We'll look at other parts of the psalm as well. But this first verse, "God is our refuge and strength, very present help in trouble." Our refuge is in God. Look at the terrible situation you're in, someone might say. Where is your God? What the psalm expresses is a life which is far from carefree. One who's been called by God, finding themselves in turmoil, in distress. A person who is finding themselves in deep troubles. And the way that the opening verses, what they communicate, are experiences that are earth-shattering. There are times in our lives when it just feels like the earth is about to give way, where things seem to be impossible, and the psalm expresses even events that are catastrophic. The earth gives way. The mountains moved into the heart of the sea. Imagine the consequences of mountains, all the mountains being put into the heart of the sea. Disaster. The flooding, the swell of the oceans that would follow. Hard to think that anybody could survive. The consequences, unthinkable. The turmoil, the trouble. When these things happen, where is your God? They might say. He is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Seems important here to mention that when it says God is our refuge and strength, it means God to us, a refuge and strength. God to us, a refuge and strength. What is expressed here in this first verse is that he has come to us, that he voluntarily meets with us in our troubles. This is what the psalm is getting across here, that God himself chooses to come and to meet with us in trouble. He chooses to be with his people. It's such an important truth in Christianity that when God comes to meet with his people, it's because he chooses to come to meet with us. So that when he meets with us and when we are in trouble, that we may know that God himself has come to us to be our help and aid. And this is what the Lord's people have experienced in the past, and what the Bible speaks about throughout the generations of God's people finding themselves in dire situations, in terrible circumstances. But God chooses to come and to meet with them. Think about when Abraham was on the Mount of Moriah and God had given him the command to sacrifice his son. And Abraham lifted the knife about to kill his son. What God did? He chose to meet with Abraham there and to provide the sacrifice that was needed. Or when the people were held in slavery in Egypt, and the people endured great suffering there for many, many years. What did God do? He chose to meet with his people. He chose to meet with Moses in the form of the burning bush. God willed to do that. And then time again through the prophets and meeting with his people, he chooses again and again and again to meet with his people, even when his people sin against him. God does not forsake his people. He chooses again to meet with them, and he chooses to make himself known with them. He calls his people to forsake their old ways and to return to him. And then most of all in the giving of his son, Jesus Christ. For 400 years there had been no prophetic witness, no prophets among the people. There had been silence. But God chose at that time to send his son into the world. God comes to us to be our refuge and our strength. So then what the psalm is expressing is that God comes to be with his people, and he chooses to do so according to his goodwill, his pleasure. He does so voluntarily. So these verses are a help to those in trouble, a comfort to Christians. We draw upon God's word in the Old Testament, the Lord speaks of how a mother may forget her child, but God shall not and never will forget his own children. And Christ, who spoke in a similar way as well, saying the same things, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So God comes to be our help in trouble. At the same time, these verses express to us and help us to prepare for trouble, to prepare for whatever is ahead. The psalmist does not have his eyes closed. He knows that there is trouble in the world, and there are many adversities, many things that we will have to face that we would maybe not want to face. And again, this is what is being expressed in these opening verses. When the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. He helps us to prepare for trouble, for whatever is ahead. We just do not know what is ahead. We don't know all the events that are going to take place, but we can take heart that God comes to meet with us in trouble. The psalm expresses refuge and strength, that's what God is to us when we find ourselves in such circumstances. And what the psalm expresses is that God is found in trouble. That's where he is found, is in trouble. They say, you are in trouble. Where is your God? But that's precisely the place where God is found. It's in trouble. This is what he's saying. He is a very present help in trouble. The Lord is saying here, it's in the trouble that I am to be found. It's in the trouble that I am to be found. This is where I'm found. It says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And this is what the psalmist is speaking about in his own experience, and what Christians can speak of in our own experience as well. It's when we are troubled that we can find the Lord. That is, time and again, the very situation, the circumstance in which God's people, in his word, find God. It's when we are in trouble. And it may be today that you are deeply troubled. It may be today that you're deeply troubled and no one else knows that you are deeply troubled. God is to be found in trouble. And what the psalm is expressing is that he is found there in the trouble, that he comes to meet with his people in the trouble. And it may even be that you have not been looking for him. You are in trouble, you have not been looking for him perhaps, but it is in the trouble that he is to be found. And so something similar to this is expressed in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 1. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here am I to a nation that was not called by my name. He was ready to be found by those who did not ask for him. Ready to be found by those who did not seek him. Now, this is the very thing that is expressed in the Psalms and so many gospel hymns as well. That people shall find God in their time of trouble. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Even though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song shall be, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. It's in the time of trouble that we can find God and we can discover the truth of God, because it's in the trouble that God chooses to meet with his people. And I would suppose that for a number of us here, if not many of us here, it's been when we were in trouble that we discovered God and we found God. We're not looking for him before, but he chose to meet with us in our trouble. And so what he speaks about then is a nearness to God in trouble, a dependence upon him that was not there before. Wasn't that the case with Jonah? I mean, Jonah knew God, but he ran away from God. And yet that was the very time at which God met with him. It was when he was going in the opposite direction. It's when he was running away from him that God came to him and met him with his salvation. That may be something that we may know of ourselves as well. It's been the very time that we've been running away from God that God has made himself known to us. Notice what it says at the bottom of the page. The note there when it speaks of the note 5, it is verse 1, a very present help in trouble. The note says, are well proved. He is a well proved help in trouble. Well proved. There is a long, faithful history of God meeting his people in their trouble. The Apostle Paul described himself as a ruin of a man. And found God to be his help. And God comes to meet with his people. Perhaps when we are not looking for him, but when we need him. He is an ever-present help, well proven in trouble. This is, in part, why the Psalms have been so important for Christians over the centuries. Because the Psalms express the feelings and the needs of God's people. We are in trouble. God, help us. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Well, we can get a sense then of how God comes to meet with his people, and that he helps in that time of trouble and the dire situation that is expressed in those opening verses of the earth giving way and the mountains falling into the heart of the sea. And then in the rest of the psalm, it opens up for us more as to how God is a help and an aid for his people in times of trouble. It's in that very situation where it seems like everything is unravelling that we are then taken in verse 4 and following into the beautiful city of God and the respite that the people of God can feel and enjoy in their trouble. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This picture is one which is refreshing to us. It's refreshing just to read it and to hear these words spoken. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Surely this is speaking of God's continued grace towards us. Spurgeon wrote, "Divine grace, like a smoothly flowing, fertilizing, full and never failing river, yields refreshment and consolation to believers. This is the river of the water of life, of which the church above as well as the church below partakes forevermore. It is no boisterous ocean, but a placid stream. It is not stayed in its course by earthquakes or crumbling mountains. It follows its serene course without disturbance. Happy are they who know from their own experience that there is such a river in the city of God." There is great refreshment for us in the gospel and in the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in our time, there is a need for refreshment. And there is a need for good news in our time. And the good news is here for the whole world. That there is refreshment for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find that streams of living water pour forth from him. It is refreshing for our souls, for our lives, to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the psalm tells us of God coming to meet with his people and tells us of his faithfulness in coming to his people. In times of trouble, he is an ever-present help, that he is faithful to his word, and he comes to meet with his people, and he refreshes his people, just as the river makes glad the city of God. Now, what does the Lord say to his people? Given what he says, that he is a help to them, given what he says that the gospel is refreshing to us, what does he say to us? Now, what ought we to do? Well, there are two things, which, first of all, is in verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Look and see. This is what God wants us to do. He wants us to look and see at what he has done and observe what he is doing as well with the gospel and as the Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Now, it's for us to observe the works of the Lord and to see what he has done. Are we aware of what God is doing in our time? He has brought desolations on the earth. He also makes wars to cease. and he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. God brings about transformation in people's lives. He brings transformation in my life. So I trust in your life as well. The way that we may once have responded to different situations, we respond differently now because we have met with God. And God works in us to change us and to transform us. So he says, come and behold the works of the Lord. Be acquainted with what God has said and done. And then secondly, he says, there is this one other thing that you must do. Be still. Be still. And know that I am God. Quite hard to be still, isn't it, at times? We can be geared up for not being still, for always doing and doing and doing, and not being still. But what God says here to us with his word is that I come to be a help to you in your trouble. Now be still and know that I am God. We may be very agitated about our lives, about what is going on around us. But God comes to us, an ever-present help in times of trouble. Therefore, though the earth gives way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, you can be still, knowing that you have God with you. There's the story of Peter, Paul, in the Philippian jail. And there was the earthquake, and everything came crumbling onto the ground around them. And then there was the Philippian jailer, this man. He was just doing his job, but he was about to take his own life because the earth had given way. But there were these men there, Christian men, who were there too. But they knew that they could be still despite the walls crumbling because God had come to meet with them and was their help in time of trouble. Many times during that dark and tumultuous period in the 16th century, when terribly discouraged, Martin Luther would turn to his co-worker Philip Melanchthon and say, come, Philip, let us sing the 46th Psalm. May that be the same for us now too, as we turn to God in praise and sing the rest of Psalm number 46. May we do so to the glory of God.